Welcome to the KICC Malawi podcast. Our prayer is that this message will speak to your heart.
Psalms 103 verse 10. Psalms 103 verse 10. And Psalms 130 verse 3. So open also Psalms 30. 130 verse 3. Psalms 103 verse 10. Defines our topic in a way. He says, he has not dealt with us according to our iniquities. He has not dealt with us according to our sins as we deserve, nor rewarded us with punishment according to our wickedness. Amen. If God were to equate ourselves, what we do, and then give us our reward, we wouldn't get what we get. Amen. It is by his mercies that we are still counted. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalms 130 verse 3. The Bible says, if you, O Lord, should keep an account of our sins and our iniquities, and treat us accordingly, O Lord, who could stand before you in judgment and claim innocence? Maybe you're here, you could claim innocence. Me, I cannot even think about it. If you, Lord, should mark our iniquities, O Lord, who can stand? The answer is no one. Amen. Amen. We are only by his mercies and by his grace. And by the work that he has done and finished on Calvary.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So I'm quickly going to read Matthew 15, and then I will watch my time because I want us to pray. I mean, I felt like just continuing just to pray and just say amen at the end. So Matthew 15, verse 21 up to 28, there's a story there of a woman. Basically, we now know by those two verses that God doesn't treat us according to what we deserve. And by doing so, he shows us mercy. Amen. Amen. Imagine you're in a court of law, you've been caught stealing whatever, and then you've been taken to court, and then judgment is being pronounced upon you, you've been found guilty. You've been found guilty. And then the judge decides to say, but I pardon you. Amen. He says, I found you guilty of this crime, but go and sin no more. Instead of sentencing you to 12 years imprisonment, you can go back home. You deserved the punishment, but it has been waived. It's been taken away from you. That's mercy. Amen. You haven't done anything. I haven't done anything, but God says, no, 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 no. So mercy said no. There's a song there. Hallelujah. So in Matthew 15, verse 21 to 28, there's a story of the Canaanite woman. It's a very interesting story. And if we had all the time, we would have gone all the way to the end of that chapter, because the events leading to that story are all interlocked. They begin from verse number 1 and then go all the way down there. So I will encourage you to find some time and read that scripture, and then make sure that you are also acquainted with them. So this is the story of the Canaanite woman. After living there, so meaning this story is continuing from verse number 20. Jesus withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon, and a Canaanite woman from that district came out, I'm reading the Amplified, and began to cry out urgently. You know, when you have got urgent issues, shouting doesn't really work. Sometimes you make whatever necessary noise to get the attention of the one you are addressing. Amen. Pastor here has said that there was a time for over 9 months he kept sending the same email every week, every a particular day every week, because the issue was very urgent. Amen. At that time, you're not even ashamed of who is watching you. People say, ah, but we thought you were honorable, but your honorability is no longer there because you want your case to be heard. So in this manner, you see that this woman is crying out, and you will see down there even the disciples complaining to Jesus that this woman is irritating them. Amen. And saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly possessed by a demon. But Jesus did not say a word in answer to her. I hope that is also in your Bible. Amen. But Jesus did not say a word in answer to her. Imagine you're shouting to Jesus. He's right here, but he's not even saying anything. He's ignoring you. So imagine how you could feel. Other people can ignore you, but Jesus? So Jesus chooses not to say anything to this woman. Let's see what she does. And his disciples came and asked him repeatedly, Jesus, that's my addition, send her away because she keeps shouting out after us. And there is something interesting, because the verse didn't tell us that Jesus, the woman, is shouting at them. He was calling out to Jesus, by the way. Amen. So you should take notice of that. And sometimes the people that are so concerned about our shouting are not the ones we are shouting out at. That was a good detour. I could have gone there. But you have heard what the Lord is saying.
Yeah, that's true.
This woman is shouting to Jesus repeatedly. We acknowledge that. And she's really making noise. Because I don't know who, the Bible is not telling us. I'm assuming I would now maybe point to Peter, because it was Peter always. But it's the disciples that are going to him and say, no, Jesus, please do something about this. This woman is shouting at us. But truth of the matter, Jesus, the woman, the Canaanite woman, is drawing the attention of Jesus, not of the disciples. The disciples have nothing to offer to this woman. Remember the issue that this woman has brought. Her daughter is severely and cruelly possessed by a demon. And she knows Jesus is my anchor. I better get his attention. But it is the disciples that are concerned. So I'm here to tell you, let's shout. If they say keep quiet, we'll keep shouting even the more. Amen. Until Jesus pays attention to our issue. I'll come back to that one. We'll read the message, because the message illustrates in a very, very powerful way there. Jesus answered, or he answered, I was commissioned by God. Now, after the disciples tells Jesus to address this issue, because this woman keeps on making noise, look at Jesus' answer. Remember, at first, he didn't pay attention to the woman. The woman keeps on shouting. And he comes on again and says, I was commissioned by God, and I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Ouch, do you know how that feels like? That woman, you're wasting your shout. Sounds like you are wasting your shout. I'm here to deal with the house of Israel. That's my business. If it were you and me, would have said, ah, Jesus, I said it, or I think my issues will not be resolved. I'll go back home. But verse number 25 says, but she came and began to kneel down before him. That's worship. Saying, Lord, help me. And notice he's not calling Jesus Son of David no more. He's calling him Lord. There's a significance there. Because Son of David was a political, you know, name, something that denoted the political stand of Jesus in Israel. And the Jews knew when we call Jesus the Son of David, it would qualify him coming from that lineage as being befitting to stand and call himself the Savior of Israel, the Lord. But now, this woman says, Jesus is not paying attention to me, one. Number two, he says he's only coming for the Israelites. Remember, this woman is a Canaanite. Canaanite, like Malawian, just to tickle your brain. Like Malawian, meaning if I'm Malawian, I'm coming from where? So if she's a Canaanite, she's from where? Now, Canaan, let's go back to let's go back to where God taught the Israelites, say, which land is going to give to them. It was what? Canaan. The land flowing with milk and honey. In other words, this land did not belong to the Israelites, but God gave it to them.
Amen.
And they possessed that land.
Amen.
So you wouldn't see that the Israelites and the Canaanites will see each other eye to eye. Well,
amen.
You get it now.
Yeah.
So Jesus is trying to remind this woman, say, I only came for the chosen generation. But thank God now we are a chosen generation, because once we were not a people, but now we are a people of God.
Amen.
She's not going back even. Even after Jesus has said to her, I didn't come for the people that, like you. I didn't come for people like you. People like us, Gentiles. But she came and knelt down. At first, she was shouting. At first, I would assume maybe she was shouting and praying and begging. But now she says, I better kneel and better worship Jesus. And she says, I'm going to kneel at his feet. I'm going to make my noise at his feet. Amen.
Amen.
Strategies. It's not working us standing and shouting at the back. Go kneel at his feet and worship him a little bit more. And begging, says, Lord, help me. You'd think Jesus would now be clear and say, no, now I'll deal with your case. And Jesus replied, it is not good, it is not appropriate, it is not fair to take the children's bread and throw it to the pet dogs. Wow. This woman is having a bad day. This woman is having a very bad day. She has heard about what Jesus does. Jesus can even heal demons or take out demons even without going to your house. She has heard about so many stories. She has heard about a woman who only touched the hem of Jesus' garment and got healed. And here she is begging Jesus, and Jesus says, I didn't come for people like you. Here she is saying to Jesus, but Jesus is not paying attention. Where still Jesus says, my food, I can't waste my anointing. I can't waste children's food for the puppies. Amen? That's so painful, especially coming from the Lord. That's why I'm begging you to read this whole chapter. Because what this woman did, this act that happened here, unlocked something spectacular for the Gentiles. You see down there, you see Jesus feeding the Gentiles, feeding and healing everybody irrespective of who they are. So please, 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 read the whole chapter. We don't have time today because, like I'm saying, our time is already running and I want us here to pray. And even after she heard that, she didn't give up. Perseverance in persistent prayer. Remember that sermon? Persistent prayer. Prayer where you don't give up. This is the one she's doing here. Like that woman who kept on going to the judge. Eh?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Remember that woman who kept going to the judge?
Yes.
Kept on knocking on his door until the case was answered. There's something women are teaching us in the Bible.
Yeah.
And she went and said, and the judge said, though I don't fear God, but what she's doing here, I better handle her case.
Amen.
So that I have peace.
Amen.
This woman is not giving up. And she even accepts. She humbly accepts. She says in verse 27, she said, yes, Lord. Yes to what? When Jesus said the food for the children should not be wasted to the pets, to the puppies. He says, yes, Lord. But even the pet dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the young master's table.
Amen.
Wow. Jesus has never encountered such persistence before. Lord, I may not be deserving, but I know on the table, because you mentioned children, thank you. If you had mentioned adults, they eat very carefully. The children, they eat anyhow. And somehow the food falls on the ground. That's where the pets actually eat. And here I am a pet. At least I have food. So Jesus, thank you for mentioning that there's a little food under the table. Man, that's so deep. Then Jesus answered her, "Woman," as if you'd say, "Woman, where are you from?" Because Jesus is challenged here. He says, "Woman, your faith, your persistence, you're not giving up on me. Your personal trust and confidence in my power is great. It will be done for you as you wish." Amen. And your daughter, her daughter was healed that same moment.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Wow. She came out crying for mercy from God. And Jesus reminded her she didn't deserve it. But she knew her place. I may be gentle, but whatever is left, I'll partake of it.
Amen.
I will not claim my place on the table. Whatever is left, as long as it's coming from Jesus, I will not feel offended.
Amen.
I'll take it gladly, because it's going to change my story. Amen.
Amen.
That's what mercy does. Jesus came for the Jews. He didn't come for the Gentiles. They rejected him. Oh, thank God. And here we are counted as his. Amen. Now, I'll quickly just give you that so that you can keep on thinking about it. And carefully promise, like I promise, carefully watch my time so we can pray. We have seen that this woman is not Jewish. Historically, she's coming from the Canaanite place. And actually, the Bible says she's coming from Sidon and Tyre. It's also a very interesting place there. Research about Sidon and Tyre and you'll be fascinated by what you're going to find. If you read the book of Deuteronomy 7, from verse number 1 to 7, to 2, you will see where God is telling the Israelites about Canaan and whatever is going to happen for them to possess it. So, she came from Tyre and Sidon. And Tyre and Sidon were pagan territories. They were populated by the leftovers of the Canaanites. So after the Israelites went there, captured the city, there was a city, a district that was left, and it is called Tyre and Sidon. So this is where this woman is coming from. Pastor did a preaching, it should be last year or the other year, that
he actually shared with us a historical background. He was saying in his preaching, it's going to be very important. He was saying that the land that the Israelites occupied currently is not the entire land that the Lord had given them. Remember that preaching?
Yes.
And he came here, showed a map of the Israel, or the land that God wanted the Israelites to actually inherit. And he also showed us the map of the land which they actually inherited. And one of the reasons why the Israelites did not occupy the entire land, it was because they did not fully obey God. And they left out other cities and didn't conquer them. And those cities became like what Paul would call a thorn in the flesh for the Israelites. Amen?
Amen.
One of those places is Tyre and Sidon. Very, very important for you to keep there. So these people worshipped idols. They came from their own background, and the Israelites camped there, stay there and worship God, the living God. It is also the same place which was the home of Jezebel. So let's read 1 Kings 16, verse 31. A very interesting place. I'm not necessarily saying these things I'm saying are the reason why Jesus was giving a cold shoulder to this woman, but I'm just trying to help you to understand where she was coming from. Amen. So 1 Kings, now you have to open your Bible, and also you have to go and buy a Bible. Because when there's no electricity like this, you still have to read your Bible. Amen. Or take your phone and open with me. First Kings. Now, technology has now done us good. First Kings 16, verse number 31. The Bible says, it came about as if it had been a trivial thing for Ahab to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he married Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of Sidonia. Now, if he was the king of the Sidonians, then he came from where? He's like the president of Malawi. So it means he's the president of what? Malawi. So this is where this woman was actually coming from. And went and saved the bow and worshipped those idols there. Praise the Lord. Amen. So in the same place also, where Elijah went and raised that Sidonian woman's son, child who was actually dead, and the prophet Isaiah, the prophet Elijah raised him. That miracle. 1 Kings 17, verse 8 to 24. If you read that verse, those scriptures, you would actually see the encounter where a child was dead, but Elijah went in there and raised this child back. Amen.
Amen.
It is also a place where the Shunammite woman was coming from. A place full of events. 2 Kings 4, from verse number 1 to 28. We want to read that one, it's a very long one. You see that all these women, including the Shunammite woman, showed persistent faith unto God. They would not take no for an answer. They knew that once we believe in God, that God can change our situations. Somehow God is going to make a way for us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But let's go back to our scripture, Matthew chapter 15. From verse number 24 to 30. And quickly just get some learnings from there so that we may be helped as we pray. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if you go back to Matthew 15, verse number 24, where we read, and I'm happy we had to do a little bit of pauses there, you'd see that the woman from Canaan, or the Canaanite woman, is teaching us and showing us some amazing qualities that we as Christians ought to learn from. Amen.
Amen.
This woman humbled herself. She knew she had a problem. And she also knew the answer to her problem was only in Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus was her only hope. Unlike the other stories that we hear, the other woman with the issue of blood, who went up and about and spent all she had. She went to the synagogues, seeking for help. Maybe she went to the prophets. But the Bible says about the woman with the issue of blood that she spent all she had looking for a solution. But the solution never came until she met Jesus. This woman, we don't hear that background. What we hear is that when a child was possessed, was tormented by a demon, she quickly lost to Jesus. She knew she needed Jesus in her issue. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's a very important lesson for us. And whenever we have an issue, a problem, we need to rush to our master. Not to son of David, although he's son of David, but to our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
That's where the difference is. Many that calls him Lord, Lord, do not have a relationship with him. That's why they say, that I will say on that day, I never knew you. You could call me as this or that, but we never had a relationship. And see what her petition is. She's not shouting. She's not spending all this time shouting. Although the disciples are telling Jesus to keep control of her, the issue she's shouting about is not about her. It's about her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen.
Now, I promised you that we need to read the message translation. So allow me believe the message part. If you have got your digital Bible, now those of us who have digital Bibles are for an advantage now. For our brothers and sisters with a hard Bible, God bless you. You hear what we read here. In the message, when we read that scripture, I'll quickly read it so you can actually get to see what I'm saying. Verse number 21. From there, Jesus took a trip to Tyre and Sidon. They had hardly arrived when a Canaanite woman came down from the hills and pleaded, "Mercy, Master, son of David, my daughter is cruelly afflicted by an evil spirit." Jesus ignored her. The disciples came and complained to Jesus. Now, this is what they are telling Jesus. It says, "Now she's bothering us. Would you please take care of her? She is driving us crazy." I'm reading this version deliberately for you to have an idea of how much shouting she was doing. You can have kids, for those of us who have kids, or maybe our nieces or our little ones. Sometimes they shout, and you can say, "Hey guys, keep it up." Yeah. And they will appear as if they have heard you. And what they have heard is that they should shout even the more. And they go get the cups and throw them down.
Yeah.
And they drive you crazy. This woman kept on shouting, "Jesus, you ignore me, you will know I am here. My daughter is afflicted. And you're going to attend to my issue." Sometimes we give up so easily. Sometimes we quit so easily. We pray decently and shout so decently. Amen. Pastor one day said, when that issue has now become an issue, you pray, you can pray while sitting down, and God will hear you. Fine and good. But there's some prayers you cannot pray while sitting down.
Amen.
There's some prayers you can pray whilst you're in your blanket, say, "Lord, protect me."
Yeah.
And before you say amen, you are believing God. Amen.
God.
You are God, you don't even remember. When you wake up in the morning, you're like, "Did I say amen?"
Yeah.
But God, rich in mercy, he still protects us.
Amen.
That's what David said. If God will be counting what we do and then say, "He prayed in the blanket, so let's answer the blanket answer," wouldn't be here. Moments when you wake up at 2 a.m. without pastor telling you that, "Sisters, we need to pray up, to wake up and pray at 2 a.m. You know, if I don't wake up and pray, I am done and I'm finished. This woman knew the distraction of our issue. We had to shout up to the extent where the disciples say, "Jesus, she is driving us crazy. Please intervene." That's why I read that message, so that you should know. So we're going to drive the disciples crazy this morning by our prayer. Say amen.
Amen.
So she prayed, shouted to Jesus, caught the attention of Jesus because of her daughter. What she's teaching us is that we should be able to pray for others. The same passion we put in our prayer, the same dedication we put in praying for our own issues, I should apply the same in praying for my sister. And cry out and not be ashamed of my cry. When people say, "Why are you shouting?" I say, "I'm praying for my sister. She's afflicted with a demon." Hallelujah. That's what this woman is teaching us. And perhaps she has the heart of a mother. Because mothers, you know, they love so much. Not to say that fathers don't love, but you know this one so well. See, the mother, they have the love of a mother. He's teaching us that we have to be so mindful about prayer, but also praying for other people. Our prayer ought to be selfless. Let me ask you, who have you prayed for? Listen. Who have you prayed for last week? I don't mean like this prayer says, and now I also mention, I also remember Pastor Sunga, please bless him. No, no, no. I mean prayer. Like this Canaanite woman driving the angels crazy. Where you get to go to so God say, I say, God, this one is driving us crazy. Just answer her. So that we may have our peace here in heaven and enjoy the holy and holy that the great elders are shouting. Who have you prayed for the same? With the same person you put in your prayer. Whom did you cry out for to God so that God should show them mercy? Or you are waiting for winter to come? Remember your first love. Amen. Remember your first love. Nehemiah 4 verse 14 says, strive and fight and pray for your brothers. Pray for your sisters. Pray for your children. I think you should read that verse. Nehemiah 4, verse number 14. There is a call, brothers and sisters, for us to pray and stand in the gap for one another. We are going through a lot of things. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, He is great and awesome. And fight for your brethren. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters. If you're married, fight for your wives. And also fight for your houses. So that's the structure of our prayer. When we are praying, this is the structure that Nehemiah is giving us. We ought to pray for ourselves, but we also ought to pray for our brothers. We also need to pray for our daughters, our sons. We need to pray for our brethren. We need to pray for our houses. We need to pray for everyone. In the same person we put as if we are praying for our lives. She cried, have mercy on me, because our daughter was afflicted. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you praying for the members of your CHF? Amen.
Amen.
We don't just gather to share the word. The reason why we gather there is just so you know who is in your area. So that when you're crying and praying to God, you should also pray for them. My favorite verse in 1 John says, brethren, is it 1 John or 3 John? It says, brethren, I pray for you that all may go well with you. And that you may prosper in body, just as you also prosper in spirit.
Amen.
So as we share the word of God, our duty is to make sure we cry out for mercy for our brothers and sisters. Not only for ourselves, but as we do that, as we water, we take the water and then water our brothers, God will also remember us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, the second thing we are learning from this woman is her persistence. We also spoke about it. She has been given about three times. She's shouting to Jesus. Jesus is not paying attention. She's shouting to Jesus, even meeting the wrath of the disciples. Says, you are crying out to us. You are disturbing us. Oh, wait, Peter and disciples, I am not crying out to you. I am crying out to Jesus. Amen. Sometimes we are distracted by what people say about us in this journey. Sometimes we give up so easily because people are discouraging us. How many jobs did you leave not applying because you thought your CV looked like a grasshopper in their eyes? Because that's what they said. We look like grasshoppers in their eyes.
Amen.
Amen. How many things have you given up in life? In 2024, how many things did you stop to do because you felt like you don't qualify? I'm here to remind you and tell you, the Canaanite woman was told she doesn't qualify. But she told Jesus, at least I don't qualify.
Mm-hmm.
But what you're saying in your telling of me that I don't qualify is that at least I have some qualification.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll still apply.
Mm-hmm.
It is up to you now to put me to shame.
Amen.
But as we sang here, He keeps His covenant.
Amen.
He gives you what you don't deserve.
Amen.
So we've lost so many opportunities because we thought we don't qualify. Our businesses, how many bids did we stop applying? Or, you know, stop to go and submit because we thought our business looks like a grasshopper. They said this, 10 people out of 12 He says, Moses, nobody should lie to you. The people we saw there in Canaan, they are giants. We cannot match. We look like grasshoppers. So when there's a call for action, you know, a call for tender, you look at your company and you're like, ah, this is for press comparison. My company is a grasshopper. May God have mercy on us.
Amen.
Amen. May God have mercy on us.
Amen.
I'll put it today. Do not give up. Don't quit. Because mercy will give you what you don't deserve.
Amen.
Mercy will speak for you in places where no one knows you.
Amen.
Mercy, when the board meets and say we are making a decision, at that board meeting, you that don't know anyone, but you are known by God, mercy will speak for you. But it will not speak to you, for you, if you didn't apply or if you didn't submit that document. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I hope you have read what the Lord is saying.
Yes.
Now, sometimes pride will stand in our way to receive mercy from God. Sometimes pride will stand in our way of worship to God. This woman, coming from Tyre and Sidon, she's coming from a dominant tribe where these 10 men actually are described as a people that are giants. But she humbled herself and knelt at the feet of Jesus, even when she was told that the food made for children is not made for the dogs, for the little pets. What did she say? She acknowledged her lack and her problem and said, Lord, I humbly kneel at your feet. I know I don't deserve it, but I've heard of a thing called mercy. Have
Amen.
Mercy upon me.
Amen.
That's what she had cried out when we begin to read from verse 23, going downwards. She said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me.
Amen.
In other words, give me what I don't deserve. I know I am not a Jew, but heal my daughter. We don't deserve your healing. We don't deserve your touch. But have mercy upon me.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That should be somebody's prayer. Say, Father, I know I don't qualify, but have mercy upon me. I know I am competing with well-experienced people, but have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon my business. Have mercy upon my future. Have mercy upon my children.
Amen.
I know we haven't done that well in your sight, but have mercy.
Amen.
A cry for mercy requires us to humble ourselves.
Amen.
And recognize our latest standing. It says if you think you're standing, and if you think you're righteous, the Bible says, watch carefully at that moment, lest you may fall. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it says, even if you say you are qualified and righteous, but even our righteousness is as filthy as... Oh, you don't need your Bible, eh? It's a verse I'm reading there.
Amen.
Oh, thank you. I want to complete it. Thank you. May God have mercy upon us. Now, Hebrews 4, verse number 12, 13, 14, 15, all the way to 16. Tells us that Jesus knows our weaknesses. He knows we cannot keep it. He knows we can speak this today and tomorrow we change. He knows that. As you're reading that verse, Hebrews chapter 4, we love me quoting verse number 12. The word of God is sharper, is active. Thank you. Fine and good. Go to verse number 13. Jesus says he expects us to account and to be accountable to him.
Amen.
To tell him what we have done. Not that he should punish us, but that he should show us mercy. Hallelujah. I think we should read that verse. People are wondering where that scripture is from. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12. We're not reading it because you already know it. And we were also praying about it this morning. Verse number 13. Thank you so much. Verse number 13. And not a creature exists
that is concealed from his sight. But all things are bare and open and exposed. And they are revealed to the eyes of him with whom we have to give account. What this scripture is telling us is that God knows everything about us. We may hide some things, but the truth of the matter is that God knows everything. He knows the things you didn't even confess before him. And he's pitying you. He says, but nothing is hidden from me. I know everything about you. Hallelujah. Now, number 14. Inasmuch then, we as believers, as much as we know that God knows everything about us, he knows the secret things that I did last week that nobody knows about. As much as God knows everything about us, still a loving God. Amen. He says, we have a great priest who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. We should hold fast our confession of faith and cling tenaciously to our absolute trust in him as our Savior.
Amen.
For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize, who is unable to understand our weaknesses and our temptations, but one who has been tempted and knowing exactly how it feels to be human in every respect, and yet we are yet without committing any sin. Therefore, let us, with this privilege, approach the throne of grace, that is the throne of the gracious favor, with confidence and without fear, so that we may receive mercy for our failures. Because God knows our failures and our weaknesses. So as we are coming before him, we should come confidently. Not that he will say, but you did this. I mean, Pastor has been preaching over the weeks, that when we are talking to each other, it is time for us to listen to the one who commissioned the talking. So we should not say, but you did it. God doesn't do that. This is the scripture. He says God doesn't hold us to that account. But we should come boldly before him and obtain mercy for our failures.
Amen.
Even the times that we belittled ourselves, we should come boldly to him and obtain mercy. Even the time that we felt like we don't qualify and we cannot match up, we should come boldly before the throne of grace.
Amen.
Because the mercies of God are new every morning.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
They are new every morning. We should obtain that. And it says, help us in the time of our need. Hallelujah. Now, the last thing, the other thing that I can talk about this woman is that God will meet us where we are in faith, and then he will help us to grow in that faith. Like that woman with the issue of blood and the faith for this Canaanite woman, although she was imperfect, but at the end of this encounter of Jesus, her faith was uplifted. She was told right there and then that your child is made perfect. Go home. Your faith has been elevated. Now, here's the thing. She cried out to Jesus. Jesus ignored her. She put on another gear in her faith and in her prayer. Although the disciples pushed and said, you are making noise, Message Bible, you are driving us crazy, she didn't give up. She went straight to Jesus, kneeled at his feet. Her faith is actually growing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when she's told, the food on the table, meant for children, it's not meant for the small dogs. She actually acknowledges and said, I'll put another gear. I'll eat the clams. Now, when Jesus kept silent about this issue, about this woman, it wasn't that Jesus was ignoring this woman. I feel like Jesus was sending an invitation to this woman for more desperation, for her to realize that she really needed to know that her help is coming from Jesus only. Hallelujah. Because if she had given up, her child would not have been made whole. So I know that she put up another level of faith. And Jesus was moved. No wonder Jesus says, your faith, because of your faith, your child has been made well. Sometimes when we are praying and we feel like God is not answering, God is silent, we need to continue to pray and call upon His name.
Amen.
And be persistent.
Amen.
And kneel before Him and cry. And continue to push Him and drive all the angels crazy. Because now we don't have the disciples. We need to find somebody to drive crazy. And make sure we persist. So don't give up. Amen. Don't give up until He answers. Because He says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. When you go through the fire, I will be with you. It's a promise He is keeping till today. Amen. Sometimes God is testing our patience and our courage. There are things you've been praying for so long. And when they are finally answered, you will remember. Say, if I had given up, I wouldn't have seen the hand of God in this manner.
Amen. Amen.
So the answer, the delay that you're facing right now, could be that God is just watching you. Is He going to give up? Is she going to go back? Or she's going to continue to knock on that door? Matthew 7, verse 7. Let's just read our verse and then I'll ask us to stand. I'll finish the other part of the preaching in Chichewa. Matthew 7, 7. He says, ask and keep on asking. I'm reading the Amplified. Ask and keep on asking and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. Amen?
Amen.
That's why I love this translation now in Amplified. He says, keep on asking. Keep on knocking.
Amen.
Remember the neighbor, the guy who had a neighbor, and the visitors decided to visit him in the middle of the night.
Yes.
And this neighbor needed bread, only bread, nothing else.
Yes.
He didn't have bread in his house. But he knew, not by revelation, he knew. Probably that morning he had seen the neighbors coming from Bread Talk with bread, a lot of bread. And he said, I have a visitor, midnight, Bread Talk is closed, but my neighbor has bread. I saw them buying the bread. They will not say they don't have bread. What am I going to do? I'll go to my neighbor. And the Bible says, he kept on knocking. He kept on knocking. And the Bible says, the friend inside says, hey friend, I have children in here. Of course, what I want to say here is not written in the Bible. But I guess the friend outside said, but I just need bread. So he kept on knocking and said, I need bread, neighbor. The Bible says, keep on asking.
Amen.
Keep on knocking.
Amen.
And those who keep on asking,
amen,
the Lord will answer.
Amen.
Those who keep on knocking, the door will be open. Meaning if I just knock and they say, they didn't open and I go back, I shouldn't blame the one who didn't open the door. I should blame myself. Because I did not keep on what? Knocking.
Amen. Amen.
By the mercies of God, that door will open.
Amen.
They will answer you. They will give it to you. For everyone who keeps on asking, verse number 8, receives. So he who gives up doesn't receive. Extension. And he who keeps on seeking finds. Meaning he, it's like you have seen this lady and you love her. Or at least you love her by that time. And you know I'm going to go for her. And then you ask her out and she says no. And you know that this no is not a no. So you keep on what? Asking. You are just doing scripture there. And men, we are very good at that one. We understood this scripture better. So we keep on asking until she says, yes. I think it's a story of some most of us. The Bible says, keep on asking.
Amen.
And here we are married. Amen. Amen. So the Lord answered. We are a testimony to that prayer. Answer prayer. Amen. So you keep on knocking, God will answer. Keep on seeking, you will find.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is by His mercy that that door can be opened. So the Canaanite woman swallows her pride. Even after being caught and likened to a dog, she says, fine, whatever you call me, right now I am already done. I've already been humiliated. All I need is you to heal my daughter. And there's something else that I'm learning from there. She was not easily offended. She was not easily offended. When Jesus said the food meant for the children is not given to the pets, she didn't say, Jesus, you're calling me dog. Oh, disciples, hear what they are saying. See what Jesus is saying. He just called me dog. Hear, oh, Pharisees, come. No. She humbled herself. But you see, you and me are easily offended.
Amen.
When we pray and we see He's not answered, we give it up.
Amen.
We say, God is a liar. And sometimes we are offended by the disciples, the people around us. Because when Jesus said, when the disciples were telling Jesus to handle this woman, they didn't whisper to Jesus. The Bible says the disciples told Jesus, Jesus, handle this one. She's driving us crazy, the Message translation.
Yeah.
Meaning this woman had it.
Yeah.
So I'm driving you crazy. She wasn't offended.
Yeah.
She said, okay, fine. You haven't seen crazy. I will drive you crazy until Jesus, the Lord, heals my daughter.
Amen.
So here I am pleading with us. Let's not get easily offended. Because our God doesn't get easily offended. He's slow to anger. So this anger we get anyhow. We don't know where we get it from. But I'm sure I can tell you it's not from God. May God have mercy on us. Don't be offended. When they tell you have applied, you have waited enough, it won't happen. Keep on praying. Keep on knocking. Keep on asking. Keep on believing. Because it will be the same people who will come and say, see what the Lord has done.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I want us to pray for a few minutes, because time is really gone. I've really spent a lot of time. God responds to persistent prayer. If you learn nothing from this story, from this sermon, I want you to know that mercy responds to persistence. Never stop praying. God pays attention to our prayers. God answers our prayers. Genesis 3 verse 21, where will be our first prayer item this morning? You'll see that when Adam and Eve had sinned against God, they realized they were naked. That's what the Bible says. They made a solution on their own. Amen. What did they do? They took leaves and covered their nakedness. It's a verse before that. But God, in His mercy, what did He do? As for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. God knows. We have already read Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13. He knows everything we do. He knew that these leaves will not even sustain Adam and Eve. In His mercy, He had to make clothes for them.
Amen.
To cover their shame.
Amen.
Hallelujah. To cover their pain. To cover their sin.
Amen.
That's what mercy does. He will not put you to shame. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that should be our prayer. That God, make me a covering. Just like you did with Adam and Eve. And cover us. Because if I continue in these lips, it will not end well. When the sun comes out, I'll be worried about these leaves.
May the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.